Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Throughout its history, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, commonly known as HUD, has sought to increase home ownership, support community development, and increase access to affordable housing. Today, more Americans have achieved the dream of home ownership than at any time in this nation's history. It has also become evident that government best serves the taxpayer when it is performing well and producing sound results. Over the past several years, HUD has taken many notable steps to improve its management and performance in fulfilling its mission. With us this morning to discuss HUD's efforts in this area is our special guest, John Cox, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer, Director of Federal Civilian Programs. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
John, perhaps you could share with us a sense of the history and mission of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. Can you tell us when was it created and what is its mission today?
Certainly. The origins of HUD actually go back to the 1930s, a couple of key pieces of legislation. The Federal Housing Administration, commonly known as FHA, was created in 1934 as a result of the Great Depression. At that time, there were actually very few 30-year mortgages, which we're obviously very familiar with today. But at that time, that was not a common concept. So FHA was created to help guarantee loans for low and moderate income people. The other key piece of legislation that originated HUD was the U.S. Housing Act of 1937, which again provided and recognized a need in the United States for decent, safe, and sanitary dwellings. The final piece of legislation that I think is key, and obviously the department our size, there are many, many pieces of legislation, but the final key piece was in 1965, HUD was actually recognized as a cabinet-level agency. The mission of the department has not changed significantly over the years. Many of the programs have adjusted and been adapted to meet the current needs today. And it's really about increasing homeownership opportunities, providing affordable housing in the rental markets, strengthening communities through our primary program there, which is Community Development Block Grants, and increasing and improving equal opportunity in housing.
Now, certainly that mission touches every American out there. Can you give us a sense of the scale of operations within HUD? How is it organized, size of the budget, number of employees, and your geographic footprint?
Certainly. Our annual budget for fiscal year 2007 was $36.9 billion. And HUD is organized in about 81 different field offices. We have approximately 9,500 employees, including all our major program areas and the Inspector General and OFAO, our regulatory arm. We have major program offices. I would break it down in two or three parts. There is FHA, which is an entity that guarantees mortgages for people in the United States. Then we have Ginnie Mae, which is the arm of HUD that provides securitization of those mortgages. In other words, packaging those mortgages that are guaranteed not only by FHA but also VA and to a certain extent Rural Home Loan Program, basically providing an income stream for investors. And the key importance of that is it helps lower mortgage rates by providing a more liquid market. In fact, in today's time, it's probably more important than it ever has been. And then finally, there are the main programs of HUD, and I'd mention three. There are many, but I'll mention three in particular. Public and Indian Housing, which provides rental housing primarily and Section 8 vouchers for many Americans around the country. The Community Development Block Grant Program, or CPD. CPD is the organization. The Community Development Block Grant is the biggest piece of that. Community Development Block Grant got its start in the 70s as in the Nixon administration as part of revenue sharing, and that fundamental program still exists today. It's based on a formula and is given to states, counties and municipalities based on a formula, and that's probably our most flexible program. So it can be used to provide affordable housing, but it can also be used to provide infrastructure, water, sewers, libraries, et cetera, anything that provides for economic development, as the name would imply. So those are the major programs within HUD. We also have, obviously, offices of policy and research. One of our key goals is equal opportunity, so we have a program office there that helps monitor equal opportunity complaints in housing particularly, and they've just started a new program to look at lender abuses in the marketplace.
John, now that you've provided us with a sense of the large organization, perhaps you could tell us more about your area and role within HUD. Specifically, what are your responsibilities and duties as the Chief Financial Officer? And could you tell us about the areas under your purview, how you're organized, the size of your staff and budget?
Certainly. The staff that I manage is what I would call a full-service CFO staff. In other words, we have the budget function, which is a critical function for any federal government. We have a financial arm, which does the financial statements, the financial accounting. We have a group that provides financial analysis and prepares our performance and accountability report. We have a systems division that it works with our CIO to provide the systems support, in other words, the accounting general ledger, et cetera, all those feeder systems. And then we have, under my purview, a group of appropriations attorneys. So all told, that's about 218 people, and they have those full-service roles and provide a variety of support. In the budget area, we provide comments. We work with OMB constantly. We work with the Hill to provide analysis, data, input. We try to believe we're not just gathering the numbers, but we're hopefully building some value in terms of analysis on the numbers, helping the Hill and OMB understand when we're making budget requests, when we're making proposals, for example. The recently passed FHA legislation, we're trying to do that type of analysis. Financial statements is what you would expect. It's putting the numbers together, closing the books, making the payments and disbursements, making the obligations, working with the various program offices to make sure that all those meet the proper funds control. And then, as I mentioned, the financial reporting arm takes those financial statements and turns them into the performance and accountability report, which is really telling all of our constituency groups, the Hill, the various interest groups that we serve, as well as the American taxpayer, here are our goals and how did we stack up against those goals.
Now, regarding your responsibilities and duties, what are the top three challenges that you face in your position and how you address those challenges?
Clearly, continuing to be more efficient and effective with the resources that Congress gives us is a key priority. It is a tight budget environment that's no secret to anyone. So trying to make sure that our resources are allocated appropriately among the program offices or appropriately between programmatic functions and administrative functions, that's a key challenge for any department, and HUD is no exception. The second would be in the succession planning area. Many people are aware, obviously, that there's a looming wave of retirements in the federal government. Many people, HUD in particular, given its particular age as a department from the late 60s, there are people now obviously reaching 30 and 40 years worth of work, and therefore they're certainly entitled and are going to enjoy a nice retirement. The challenge we have then is to rebuild the staff, sort of build back, if you will, that institutional memory has many, many years of programmatic knowledge. So we've adopted programs both as a department for succession planning, and we have a lot of good efforts underway there. And then specifically in my office, in addition to the department-wide efforts, we're looking at bringing on new recruits, some from college, some from other sources. But again, just trying to build that pipeline back up as you would in any organization that's faced with, I believe our figures are somewhere north of 50% of our employees in the next 3 years are eligible to retire. They won't all retire, but they're eligible to retire. So clearly, there's a need and an effort there to drive that.
Now, John, you recently came to HUD from the private sector. Could you describe your career path for our listeners, and how did you get started?
Sure. I have an accounting degree from Texas A&M University, so I guess you would say I'm a bean counter. I first began my career in public accounting with Ernst & Young, was there for several years, and then I worked for a publicly traded software company in Houston, Texas, before moving to Washington, D.C. The publicly traded software company, I had a variety of roles, began as a tax director, helping with the tax function. BMC Software was a worldwide company, so we had operations not only across the U.S. but around the world. Took on a variety of roles over the years. I was there approximately 15 years, and including chief accounting officer and finally chief financial officer of that company. So that's a little bit of my background, how I got to D.C. When I left BMC, I was determining what to do next and visited with a good friend of mine who suggested public service. I'd always had an interest in that, and the timing was right, both from a family standpoint and a career standpoint. And so I began that process and explored it and ended up at HUD.
So how has your previous experience prepared you for your current leadership role, and how has it shaped your management approach and your leadership style?
The benefit of working for a large publicly traded software company is that you're used to working within a large organization. HUD, obviously, BMC was approximately 7,000 employees when I left. HUD is 9,000 plus, as I mentioned. So from a size perspective and being able to get your hands around not only the organization and its financial information, it's a challenge which that prepared me for, but also just being able to work and maneuver in a large organization. You have the added mix in the federal government, obviously, of the political side, which is different than in a private sector. But just being able to work among those different organizations and try to coordinate and have a good effort there to work to get a common purpose, I think, was very good. Also, I think my own personal leadership style is giving people tasks and expecting them to do it and then holding them accountable. But yet, I don't look over their shoulder. I don't call them every day and say, have you done this? So I think having a style that's more cooperative and also very accessible, I think that is something that I've developed over time and I think has served me well and I think is appreciated by the staff, at least I hope it is. And I think that's the approach that I like to use to work collaboratively. And also, particularly in the federal government, I think it's different in the sense that there are career staff that are obviously there for a long, long time. Politicals come and go, as is the nature of the beast. But I want to recognize the efforts that they've made, respect the efforts that they and the knowledge that they have. And so I also want to foster an environment where I just don't know what's best or I don't make the decision. I want them to give me the information and then collectively we can make that decision. Obviously, the ultimate responsibility relies with me and I accept that. But I want to make sure that they feel comfortable giving me the best inputs that they have.
Fantastic. How is the department integrating budget and performance information? We will ask John Cox, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.